We also want to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. As our brother was mentioning how much we should appreciate our wives and our family, I just heard a minister about 2 weeks ago made a statement that sort of touched my heart. He said many times we're very friendly and kind to people we meet, but we're not that kind to our wife or our children. And he said he made it a practice that every day, at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day, he would remember of all the conversation between his wife and his children and how much it could be improved. That was a challenge to me. I want to express appreciation to you as a congregation for praying for Patsy and I. We're so thankful that Patsy is with us, and the blessing of the Lord is upon her in many ways. She has some discouraging days. She needs your prayers. So let's be faithful. And above everything else, we want to be faithful until the Lord calls us home. Our brother has asked us to read from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 18. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, Bethlehem of Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Eliezer, and the name of his wife Naomah, and the name of his two sons Malcolm and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judea, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Eliezer, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and had two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The main one was Orpah, and the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Malcolm and Chilion died. Also both of them and the women were left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore he went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each of to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dwelt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn away, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth with me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is going out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and to her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after you. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught with death would part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. What a commitment to the great God and also to her mother-in-law. How is our commitment to our Savior and to our Lord? Let's pray.
I'd like to thank Brother Merle for his prayer and each of you who have prayed for the speaker this morning. For those who are wondering, yes, I am enjoying winter. I know some of you realize that I appreciate this kind of thing, but the work is getting a little wearisome, like for all of us. But the Lord is good. As Brother Merle prayed, I marvel at the beauty that we see. Just amazing. Brother Paul didn't know it, but he gave an introduction to the message this morning, titled it, Love That Lasts. Bill and Jim were serving together in a terrible trench warfare of World War I. They labored and they fought together and became true friends amidst the fighting and death. One day, after a fruitless charge on enemy trenches, all of the men scrambled back to the safety of their own trench, all the men, that is, except for Jim. He fell severely wounded between the lines, alone. And Bill wanted to go to Jim to provide whatever assistance he could. The officer in charge, however, would not allow it because of the imminent danger. But when the officer turned his back, Bill rushed into the fray, ignoring the bullets and shells, and made it to Jim. He managed to get Jim back to the trenches, but it was too late. Jim was gone. His officer asked cynically if it had been worth the risk, and Bill responded without hesitation. "Yes, sir, it was," he said. "My friend's last words made it more than worth it. He looked up at me and said, 'I knew you'd come.'" This was the type of commitment to another that Ruth exemplified. It was the kind of dedication and loyalty that Ruth showed to Naomi. And this is the kind of loyalty and dedication that needs to characterize our relationships, whether it is friend to friend, or with a sibling, or with a child, or a parent, or with a spouse. And Ruth's statement of commitment is one to be remembered. It's one for the ages. It's a model to learn from and to follow. We want to take different aspects of her commitment this morning and see how vital they are in having a love that lasts. Now, I'm going to direct our thoughts, or my thoughts at least, are attention more to a husband and wife relationship, but these aspects do apply to any relationship, whether it's parent and child or friend and friend, whatever relationship you're thinking of, they apply to it if there's a desire to have in that relationship a love that will last. First of all, we see that Ruth was committed to Naomi. Now, you may think, well, that didn't take much thought on your part. But there's an important point here. Ruth's commitment to Naomi was not based on what Naomi did. No strings were attached to it. Ruth was simply committed to Naomi, the person. That's an important point for us to grasp this morning. She was committed to Naomi, the person. Ruth's commitment was not about what she would gain from this commitment or benefit. Rather, it was about what she would give to Naomi. In our relationships, to have love that lasts means that I and you must be committed to a person. In our marriages, it's not, well, I'll be committed to you as long as the circumstances are to my liking. It's not, I'll be committed to you as long as I'm in control. It's not, I'll be committed to you as long as I get what I want and benefit from this relationship. Rather, it means that as husband and wife, we'll be committed to each other through the good times and the bad times, the hard times. There's not a marriage that doesn't experience at least some of those. We'll be committed in times of good health and in times of sickness. We'll want to do what's the best for each other. We'll be committed to each other, even though we both look different. And when we first said we loved each other, you know what I'm talking about. I don't look the same as I did 30 couple years ago. Most of you don't either. It means we'll be committed to forgive when the other fails, realizing that we will need the same kind of forgiveness because we too fail. It's a husband being committed to meeting the needs of his wife for her benefit, not his own. And a wife doing the same for her husband. It's called committed love. If we're going to have a love that lasts, it has to be a committed love. A love that stems from being committed to the person. You see, all other kinds of love grow old. They wear out. The fling or the flare leaves them. This committed love will not leave. And it involves a proper respect for each other. Proper respect for each other. Being respectful when no one is around. Doesn't matter if nobody hears. I need to be respectful to Carol when there's no one else there. It means being respectful when no one else is around and being careful to in no way make the other person look bad in front of others. Being respectful, committed love. I believe that husbands, if we take the lead, if we take the lead in this area, we likely won't have to look for respect in return. It will just happen. Being committed to the person means that we do these things with unselfish motives. Unselfish motives. That tramps on my toes, I'll be honest and confess it to you. We need to focus on doing these things with unselfish motives. In a relationship, to have a love that lasts, we need to be committed to the person. Secondly, if you look at that statement of commitment by Ruth, you'll notice that Ruth's commitment to Naomi was a choice. It was a choice. Notice Ruth saying, I will, in verse 16. In verse 17, she says, will I, implying again a choice of hers. And then in verse 18, when she saw, meaning Naomi, when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded, the New King James says determined, when Ruth was determined to go with her, all of these speak of a conscious decision that was being made by Ruth, choosing to be committed to Naomi. Naomi even tried to persuade Ruth to go back to her own people, and Ruth chose to be loyal and dedicated to Naomi. Now, in our relationships, no matter what kind they are, if we're going to be committed to the person involved, it's our choice. In our husband-wife relationships, if we are going to be committed to each other and have a love that lasts, it's our choice. It means that if I am going to be committed to my wife and have a committed love for her, it will not be determined by circumstances or how I'm feeling at the moment. But it'll be acts of my will, choices that I make. Because love feelings aren't always the same. You know that and I know it, that sometimes they're here, sometimes they're down a little bit. The love feelings don't remain the same. So it's an act of my will, a choice that I make. I'm going to be committed to you. because I can always, always choose to love. I can't always have the feelings of love, but I can always choose to love. By actions and words, and choose to be committed. There's a man named Joe who was so upset with his wife that he decided on a divorce. But before serving her the papers, he made an appointment with a psychologist with the specific purpose of finding out how to make life as difficult as possible for his wife. That was his goal. The psychologist said, "Well, Joe, I've got the perfect solution. Starting tonight, treat your wife as if she were a charming woman. Change your attitude 180 degrees. Start doing everything in your power to please her. Listen to her when she talks about her problems. Help around the house. Take her out to dinner on weekends. Pretend she's this charming woman. Then after 2 months of this wonderful behavior, just pack your bags and leave her. That should get to her." That night, Joe implemented his plan. He couldn't wait to do the things for her. He brought her breakfast in bed, had flowers delivered to her for no apparent reason, took her on romantic weekends. They read books to each other at night, and Joe listened to her as never before. He kept this up for a full 2 months. And after the allotted time, the psychologist gave Joe a call at work. "Joe," he said, "how's it going? Did you file for divorce? Are you a happy bachelor once again?" "Divorce?" asked Joe in dismay. "Are you kidding? I'm married to a charming woman." You see, the point of that is that when we choose to do the acts of committed love, a unique thing happens. The feelings follow. Because being committed to a person, being committed to love that person is a choice and an act of our will. It makes it possible to have a love that lasts. In fact, the only way to have a love that lasts in our marriages or in relationships, it's only possible because it is a choice. Because again, those feelings don't stay up here. And if I rely on them, it's not going to last. But if I make a choice, it'll last. Well, thirdly, not only did Ruth commit to Naomi, but she committed to God. Now that, if we just read that, we could overlook a little bit what's happening there. Verse 16, Ruth said to Naomi, "Your God will be my God." For Ruth, that was a pretty big step. She was severing any ties that she would have had to the God of Moab, Chemosh. Little G, God. And in her loyalty now, she would go to the God of Naomi. The true God, the only God. You see, to have a love that lasts in our relationships, we need to also be committed to God. Now, I realize that there are unbelievers who have a love that lasts because they're committed to each other. However, they lack what a commitment to God brings. A commitment to God helps us fulfill our responsibilities in relationships under His guidance. And in the marriage relationship, if we are convinced that we married in God's will, our commitment being to God and then being committed to our spouse, regardless of what takes place, I'm committed to her or you, I'm committed to him, whatever your situation is. If we are in that situation, already the foundation is there of God himself. And there needs to be no questioning as to whether our commitment is blessed by God. No questioning. To have a love that lasts in a relationship and enjoy it to its greatest potential, we need to be committed that God is our God. Jacob and Amanda were married in 1936. Several years later, all of Amanda's joints were stiffened from rheumatoid arthritis. She was unable to bend her body, and for many years she lay in bed, unable to move more than her lips and eyelids. Jacob and Amanda have lived together with this condition for over 40 years. She's able to see persons and read by adjusting her prism glasses. Jacob made a bed for her, which uses electric power to turn a gear so that the bed can move from a horizontal to a vertical position. Jacob and Amanda reflect that it was because of their deep assurance that they married in the will of God. And because of their ongoing commitment to God and to each other, that their relationship has been strong all those years. This deep commitment has helped Jacob be happy, kind, and considerate, ministering to Amanda's need. So also a deep commitment to God and her husband has kept Amanda loving, happy, and gracious, growing in character. And having a ministry of prayer while her body was immobile. Both Jacob and Amanda said that they believe the missing word in much of the discussion about marriage today is commitment. I wholeheartedly agree. You see, it's not the good feelings of love that are going to hold it together. Oh, they're great to have. That's a bonus. That's a great side of marriage. But it's not those good feelings. It's a commitment. Two people. I realize there are people who have had this commitment. Their partner didn't. It takes both. And being committed to God, he needs to be kept in his rightful place by us. And I don't think or I doubt if any of us here, we don't set out to replace God with something else or with someone else. That's not our purpose. But if it happens, it happens subtly. In a marriage, God forms a perfect union, a three-part harmony. With God at the point or at the vertex of that triangle, and husband and wife at the other vertices down at the bottom. As we as husbands and wives, as we focus on God and we're drawn to Him and we make Him the number one in that marriage, we can't help but grow together in a love that will last. It has to happen. And it will. Because we're being committed to Him. To have a love that lasts in a relationship, we need to be first committed to the person. Realize commitment is a choice. Be committed to God. You want to put it in the proper order. Being committed to God would be first, but I think you understand what I'm saying. And then fourthly, Ruth was committed to Naomi for a few weeks. For life. For life. Verse 17, where Brother Merle read, Ruth says, "Where thou diest, why die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Ruth was saying, look,
Nothing will separate me from you except death. Oh, how we need that to be taken more seriously today. In a relationship, to have a love that lasts, one must be committed to the person for life. You know, when a husband and wife, when both of them, and any couple that Carol and I would counsel with before marriage, one of the things that is stressed is how important it is that both of them have that commitment, that divorce is not an option. It's a commitment for life. When a husband and wife make the choice of being committed to each other for life, they're making it possible then to have a love that lasts. A love that lasts. God says a marriage union is permanent. If you look back to the early scriptures in Genesis and where it talks about coming apart to your wife and cleaving and the implications and what the words mean, it speaks of a permanent union. And when we focus on that, it washes away all the other scenarios or the things that our emotions can get caught up in. We simply say, look, God, from the beginning, you said it's permanent, so that's the way I'm going to look at it. We need to just agree with Him. We can have a love that lasts in our marriages by being committed to our spouse with a committed love. That's a choice. Again, that's a choice. Choosing to love. I never forget the one thing Brother Harold said down in the class when we were sitting down there in the young married class. He said one of the ways he loves Priscilla is by wiping up the floor. What did he mean? He meant that's an act of commitment, a committed love. An action that he did. We need to understand commitment's a choice, being committed to God, and being committed for life. I want you to listen to these words. I think they put it into a nutshell or kind of combine what I've been trying to say this morning. Called perfect union. There's a love that lasts a lifetime. A love between a man and wife. Today we even got to emphasize that it's a man and a wife. A love so strong it goes beyond our reason. It flows from God above. A perfect union formed within His hands. Hands that form the earth, the sky and sea, still join hearts together. Joining them in three-part harmony. And there are times in every union when hard times and troubles fall. This is true. Happens in every marriage. Listen. Tearing at the seams of love. There's hard times that will come along, or things that we fail and we sin, and then it's tearing at the seams of love, trying to deafen first love's call. And though the winds blow and the storms of life set in, here's the good part. There's a captain. There's a captain who can calm the raging wind. If we'll turn our eyes to Him, we have to turn our eyes to Him if we want things to be salt and changed. A miracle just waiting to begin. There you are, Lord. You're the light in our darkness, in our troubled times when we can't find a way to carry on. There you are. You are our strength and our weakness.
When your loving arms are with your loving arms to hold us close and light to lead us on,
hand in hand, this is a choice. Hand in hand, we'll seek the Father and the Father's precious Son and the power of His Spirit that will keep our hearts as one. And then, though the winds blow and the storms of life set in, there's still a captain who can calm the raging wind. If we'll turn our eyes to Him, love that lasts doesn't happen by accident. We don't just all of a sudden get married and somehow reach 50, 60 years down the road and wonder how we got there. There are those here who have exemplified. And I can second what Brother Paul said, and I've always said, I've been so thankful that that was my upbringing. Never did I question or have the wonder whether Dad wasn't going to be there or Mom. And there's those here today who have exemplified a love that lasts for 50, 60 plus years. We thank you. Because it's encouraging. You hear people that say, well, they don't know if they heard it. I think this week someone that heard of someone who was married 40-some years, and they think that was the first time they heard of it or they met someone like it. Carol and I are headed towards 30. We've committed to having a love that lasts because it's our choices. It's our choices.
I appreciated the message of the morning. You can say amen to it. I read some time ago of four C's of a happy and satisfying and a blessed relationship. And I think Brother Dwayne touched on every one of them this morning. And the first one of those is commitment. The second one, cooperation. The third one, communication. And the fourth one, community. And I think we could sum up our brother's message with Ephesians 5:25, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't think we'd be out of place this morning. I know the wives might like that verse pretty well, but I think we could turn it around. Wives, love your husbands, even as Christ also loved the church. And I will guarantee you, you will have a happy, satisfying and a blessed relationship. We're only going on 34 years. I think it just keeps getting better. I want to thank God publicly for a partner. It has given me more determination, more love, more satisfaction than a man deserves. Let's stand before the Lord in prayer.